Blog Talk Radio.
The following broadcast is brought to you by the iGolf Sports Network. The Women of Golf Show is sponsored by the iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips, the game's most in-depth instruction magazine with insightful reviews on the latest equipment, tips from top teaching professionals, helping you improve your game from tee to green. Good morning. Welcome to the Women of Golf, the number one women's golf show around the world, with hosts Ted Odorico and Cindy Miller. Join them as they interview some of the best players from the Epson, LPGA and Legends Tour, and so many others helping to elevate women's golf. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Ted and Cindy.
All right, good morning, everybody, and once again, welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right alongside, of course, each and every week is none other than Legends Tour player and LPGA professional Cindy Miller, and we are your hosts here on the Women of Golf Show. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You're heading back home, you said?
Yeah, Jamie had to go to West Palm Beach. He's got to take some clients to play Seminole, poor baby. So I had to help Candace with the twins and the new baby. Yeah.
Yeah, really feel bad for you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll have some fun. But that's always good that his mom can step up and pitch in whenever needed. All right, we got a great show for you this morning. We're going to be starting things off. Actually, we're going to have a great discussion a little bit later on in the show. Six great reasons why all women should learn to play this great game of golf, and we're going to talk about that. And I'll tell you a little bit about how I came up with that. Actually, I didn't come up with it, but how I found it. So, but first, we're going to speak with our special guest this morning, fresh off a red eye, and as she said, and she's doing her full season on the Epson Tour. Her name is Lizzie Wynn, and she attended St. Ursula Academy, where she competed on the women's golf team. And in 2021, she was named to the All Big East team. She also received an Academic Merit Award and had completed in all four of the tournaments. She was also ranked second in the Big East Conference with a 75.67 scoring average for the year. But currently, she's gearing up to compete this season on the Epson Tour as she works toward earning her card and a spot on the LPGA Tour. So, Cindy, let's welcome our guest this morning, Lizzie Wynn.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I like the intro that started off with just fresh off a red eye. I thought that was fun.
Right. Well, it's true. Well, we're grateful that you were
able to. Everything you just said was true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're able to do that, and I know that's not easy. We've all had that situation before, and sometimes it's not always easy, but we're very blessed that you're able to join us this morning. And you're our first player of the season that's going to be competing on the Epson Tour this year, so we're really excited to have you join us. Cindy, I'm going to step back and mute my mic, and I'm going to let you start things off.
So where is St. Ursula Academy?
So St. Ursula, I didn't realize that you guys had done a little digging. So when you said that, it kind of threw me off guard. So I'm from Toledo, Ohio. Originally, I now live in Orlando, Florida. But St. Ursula Academy is where I went to high school. It's in Toledo, Ohio. It's an all-girls school. I obviously grew up playing golf. It's where I really learned to, like, love golf when I was there. But it's back in Ohio.
So you have not played college golf?
No, I did play college golf. That was high school. So I went to St. Ursula for high school. I went to Seton Hall University for college. I was there for all 4 years of undergrad. And then when COVID hit my senior year, I took my extra year. And then I got my master's and continued to play.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
La-di-da-di-da. So is this your first year on Epson?
So last year, I've been pro. So I turned pro after grad school in 2021. And obviously my first year, I didn't make it out of stage one. I didn't have any status. Last year, I played a little bit better, still didn't make it out of stage one, but it was enough to give me a little bit of status. So I only played two events on Epson last year, but this past year, I made a stage two. I played all right at stage two, but it gave me enough status to pretty much have a full season this year on Epson.
Well, that is awesome. So now,
yeah, thank you.
Question to you, what is the most difficult lesson that you have learned up to this point?
That's a good question. Probably patience. And I know that sounds like a basic answer, but coming from like my every year since I've played golf, I've gotten better. And that's always been my goal, was to improve every year. And I think if you look at my statistics and you look at the levels that I'm playing, like it's always been progress. I've always been moving up until I got to this point. And I think the reason I've gotten to this point is because I've been patient with the hard work that I put in, because I think a lot of the time you have to take a step back and realize that like everything I'm doing up until this point, like, was for me to get here. And it takes a lot out of you when you're traveling on the road and you're practicing and playing all the time. You're in the gym. You're trying to perfect pretty much anything you can. And sometimes you don't play the way you want to, and that's okay. And I think it took a while to learn that, like, you're going to have off weeks and you're going to have weeks that are really good, and that's what pushes you forward. And that's kind of how I got to this point. And I think that takes a lot of patience.
Right. Sometimes do you wonder if what you're doing is right, and do you question it when things don't go your way?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of golfers battle with this, especially golfers that aren't at the LPGA level. My first year pro was tough for me because I think when I was playing on the Women's All Pro Tour, which is kind of, I consider it like the feeder tour for Epson, because they do have exemptions for Epson. So I played that first year. I didn't make a single cut. And it was my first year out. I was just kind of getting the swing of things, like traveling and driving everywhere. And I think during that year, I definitely struggled a bit mentally because I wasn't making cuts and I was putting in that work. And that's the first year I really learned that, like, I have to be patient. And I definitely questioned whether or not that was something I wanted to do. It was definitely something I battled with on the golf course. But I stuck to it. And obviously, I think last year was a big growing year for me, and I was watching my hard work start to pay off. And this year, I feel kind of the same way I did last year, but it's paying off in a little bit at a higher level, which is great. So I'm starting to question it less as I start to trust the process and trust my golf swing a little bit more.
How many people, this is a biggie, so sit tight. How
okay.
many people, just I want you to know that I've been where you are, okay? I played on tour. I didn't make it the first time I went to Q school, and I made it the second time. When you got out there, I call these people the committee of they, came up and gave you unsolicited advice that you didn't ask for and gave you their opinion and tried to change your swing or told you what you were doing was incorrect. I'm sure you saw that video of that woman from Europe. That guy, you know, well, I've played golf for 20 years and you should do this and you should do that. How many people have done that to you since you turned pro?
Surprisingly, I don't think as many as you would expect. I think it depends who you talk to and, like, the perspective that you're taking. I do think the most common scenario you run into that is just people you don't know and they just come up to you on the range. Or, like, somebody you're paired with in a pro-am, and they are like, oh, you should be doing this, or you should be taking, like, this round set, or, oh, do you have a backup plan? But when it comes to, like, oh, you should be moving your swing like this, I don't particularly run into that that often, which I guess is a good thing. And maybe more, like, common before I turned pro. But, I mean, unless I have run into it and I just don't view it that way, I don't find it that common.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Ted?
Interesting. I'm sure, as Cindy can attest to, it'll happen. I mean, there's always going to be somebody that's got to chime in there with their mm-hmm. opinion. So, and you just have to learn to filter it, you know, in a different box. It just say, well, I'll put this in that box over there and deal with it as it comes. Because otherwise, Cindy's right. I mean, you get everybody wanting to, and most of it, I'm sure, is from well-wishers that want to just help, but they don't realize that you have to play your game, not their game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mix my questions up in a little bit different order. And I'm going to start with this one here because it kind of goes back over earlier parts of your life. Did you have a mentor? And if so, who was it?
I wouldn't say I had like a mentor specifically, but so there's an LPGA event still on the schedule right now in Sylvania, Ohio at Highland Meadows. It's now called, well, I believe now it's called the Dana Open. Used to be the Jamie Farr, then was the Marathon Classic. So that event, I have, there's a point to this, trust me. I have worked that event since I was probably like 10 years old, and we've always housed players. And so I know Brittany Lincecum really well. She has been staying with us from that event for at least over 10 years since she was a rookie on tour. Since she was 19, and now she's in her 30s. She has two kids. I've met her one daughter. I know her husband. I've been to her wedding. So I've seen her and her journey since she's turned pro. And I've kind of always looked up to her, even though we've taken like different paths, you know, because she turned pro at 19 and made it. And she's been on the LPGA ever since versus me. Like I played obviously in high school. I went to college. I'm doing it a more like conventional route, but I've always looked up to her as a player and as a friend. She's so nice and so sweet to everybody.
Yeah, she's a definitely a great young lady. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. a good mentor. And did you have anybody in your personal life, like a parent or a teacher, that kind of gave you advice early on that you really appreciated? I guess that's another way to look at it.
Yeah, so my dad taught me golf at like a young age, but taught like not taught as in like really pushed it on me, more so he would just like bring me out to the golf course. So he'd bring like me and my brother out to the golf course just like for fun when he would go out to play, put a club in our hands just so we were around the environment. And then I started to play and I started to really love it, and I liked playing with him. Me and him would compete in like the father-daughter like golf tournaments at the club that we were at, and he would start dropping little, like, you know, swing tips or, like, golf advice here and there. And I think that's where I started to fall in love with the game. And then kind of from there, like, I started working with swing coaches. So I guess it all pretty much started with my dad. You know, if he didn't put a golf club in my hands, I probably wouldn't be here.
Do you think now that you're beating him, he regrets that decision a little bit? He's thinking, maybe I shouldn't have done such a good job.
He doesn't regret it one bit because, like, he still loves to golf. He can't golf as much just because he's busy with work. And he's still a pretty good golfer. Like, I do beat him pretty much now every single time. But, like, he can still hit it further than me with his driver, assuming he hits it straight.
Right.
But I think he's happy. I think he's also happy to, like, he comes out and caddies for me when he can. Like, he likes to be involved with the game as much as possible without, you know, being too overbearing. And, like, when we go on family vacations and stuff, I think he likes to likes playing golf with me when we're out there, just, like, as nice, like, quality family time.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a blessing. And, obviously, I'm always only kidding and just having some fun. But, no, I'm sure he's very proud of his daughter that, mm-hmm. you know, you grappled onto something that obviously he can relate to. And that's a great bonding thing too for, mm-hmm. you know, a parent and their child, is to have something in common. Cause obviously not everything, that he does or you do is something necessarily that you guys have in common, but that's one thing that you can do. And I'm sure deep down, he really doesn't care that you beat him. It's actually a blessing in a way. So let's.
It took a while.
Let's dig
in. It took a while to be there.
Right. Well, the main thing is you obviously keep pursuing that goal of becoming a better player, and naturally, that's just natural selection is going to happen. So, what does a typical day for Lizzie look? Yeah, what does a typical day for you look like, both on and off tour? So, if you're not playing in an event, what does it look like? And if you're on tour, what does that day look like?
Yeah, let's start with not like off season, just because we are kind of coming out of off season. So obviously I live in Florida. I moved to Florida because I think it's kind of one of the only places in the United States where you can play golf all year round, which I've found super beneficial, to be honest, because I play a ton of golf in the off season, just with like the group of pros that I play with, the club I'm at. Typical day for me, honestly, I wake up, I go to the gym from like 7:30 to 8:30. I come back, I have my coffee, I eat breakfast, I go to the golf course, I will practice for about, I would say, 3 hours. Like, when I say practice, I mean, like, putting, chipping, on the range, and then usually, a group of us will get together and we'll go play. And we'll go, sometimes it'll be just, like, we'll just straight out play. Sometimes we'll play like little matches like 2v2 or just put something on the line just to make it a little bit competitive. Go out and play, and then usually when we're done playing, I'll go back or hit balls or work on whatever it is I think I need to kind of hone in on a bit. And then I will come home, I will make dinner, and I will go to sleep. I am very much a morning person. I like to be in bed before 10, and I like to sleep. So that's a very basic off-season day for me. In season, so I guess Epson operates a little bit differently than the WAPT did. So I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work out this year, but on Epson, it's, you get there, the events are obviously Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get there on Monday, play a practice round. Obviously, I couldn't play one yesterday because I was in California, but pretty much I try to stick to the same schedule. So, you wake up, you either go to the gym or you go to play first thing, like in the morning, so you can flip-flop it. So you can go to the gym and then you can play, or you can play and then go to the gym in the afternoon. I think right now the gym is a big thing for me. I'm coming off an injury that I had like in December and January, so I need to be in the gym just to keep things sharp, strengthen, and stretch the muscles that I need to be able to perform my best. And then either making food, having dinner with host families, or going out to eat. I have a travel buddy on Epson. Her name is Kate Johnston. And me and her pretty much try to – hopefully you can't hear the lawnmower in the back. I hope you can't hear that. And me and her try to schedule everything together. She's been staying with me in Florida the past, like, week and a half because we played, like, a mini tour event here. But she's in host housing for this first event. She also has status on Epson, so she will play every event this year. So it's nice to have a buddy to travel with. And, like, we're on the same page about, like, scheduling. And we're both coffee drinkers. We like the same food for dinner. So we're good at, like, going to the gym at the same time, scheduling our practice rounds together, mapping out the golf course together, figuring out our dinner plans. Like, we do a lot of things together. We pretty much live together for the 6 months that we're out playing, which I find a lot of fun. It makes it a lot easier when you have friends on the road. But I'm interested to see how the typical day will be for me for Epson, because I know it operates a little bit differently than the tour I played mostly on last year, but I can't imagine it strays too far from that.
No, and it's always going to be a learning experience as you go along, and you'll get that. And to be honest, most of the young ladies that we've had on the show over the years that have gone the same journey that you have pretty much say the same thing. Their first sort of real season on tour is a learning experience. So they're kind of trying to get into the ebb and flow, if you will, of what happens on a typical day. And, it's not just all about being on the golf course. There's other things, as you mentioned, scheduling other things and workouts and all that stuff. So it's a matter of finding the right balance. And it's good that you have a buddy that plays with you, that can relate to it, that knows the ups and downs of each day, and you can talk about things and they can understand. Whereas, sometimes you know, some of the young ladies we've had on who have, you know, their sort of close-knit girlfriends really don't play golf. They don't get it. They don't understand. So it's kind of hard to have those conversations with them. So that's good that you have that.
Yeah.
How would you describe?
Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You're good. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Lizzie. Finish your thought.
I would say, yeah, I definitely got my close friends from college, none of them pursued professional golf, and some of them don't play golf. But for the most part, they all understand that for a large chunk of the year, I am not available because I'm just on the road constantly, driving to a new state, golfing in a new state. Like, we're gone for weeks on end, and they're all really understanding of that, so I'm grateful to have them in my life. But obviously, like I said, it's helpful to have someone like Kate who is in it with me and does the same thing where we can have this like shared experience. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's good. And that, like I said, that's good to have that. What has been the best shot you ever hit and what was the worst shot you ever hit?
I don't think anyone's ever asked me the worst shot I've ever hit in my life.
Well, everybody, I mean, even the best of the best pros hit a bad shot once in a while. What would you, to you, and I mean, you know, what was the best shot? Like, you just hit that shot, and it was like, wow. I mean, I just can't believe I just, you know, hit that incredible shot. But then, obviously, conversely, you're going to have a little duff here and there. What was the best and worst?
Actually, funny you say that. Last week in the mini tour event, I actually hit a cold shank on the 18th hole in the last round. And, you know, that happens. From, like everybody, like, even when you watch, like, the PGA Tour and the LPGA, like, people will just shank it from time to time. But I hadn't done it in so long in a tournament round. It threw me off guard a bit. But I kind of just laughed it off because I think sometimes you just have to do that. And then, best shot I've ever hit. That's a tough one. I would say, like, I have had two hole-in-ones in my life. The second one was probably, like, one of my favorite memories, like, of my golf career so far. I don't know. I wouldn't particularly say it was the best shot I've ever hit, but it was one of the best golf memories I've had because, like, my first hole-in-one, like, it was at, like, a high school event. Like, only one of my parents was there. There wasn't really, like, a lot going on. But the second poem I had, we were playing in Penn State's tournament at State College, and both my parents were there, and my coach was on the tee with me, and I happened to be paired with, like, one of my friends, who I'm still friends with at the time. She also plays professionally, and I had, a hole-in-one on that, like, my third hole of the day, and that was, like, a really special memory just because everybody was there watching. And like I said, it was probably wasn't, like, the best shot I've ever hit. It was, like, a nice straight 5-iron, 175 yards. It was cold outside. Like, it was a good shot. But memory-wise, I feel like that's probably one of my favorite.
I think we can accept that. I think that would be definitely one you would want to put in the best shot category for sure.
And just
one more question I want to ask you, and then, Cindy, I'm going to hand it back to you. Do you consider your style of play out in the golf course, do you play more conservative in your play, or are you more of an aggressive player, like a pursuer? How would you describe your play on course?
I think
or a mixture
in
of both.
College, yeah, I would say like I definitely used to be more conservative. Like, if I can't reach a par 5 and 2, sometimes I'll just hit like the club off the tee. I know I can get it in play because it's a 3-shot hole. Like, because my driver's always kind of been like a love-hate relationship with me. And I've learned to obviously like grow through that. Like, I love my driver now, obviously. But back in college, if I didn't have to hit my driver, I would just play with my 3-wood because I love my 3-wood. And when I'm hitting it well, pretty much goes as far as my driver. And I still fall into those tendencies from time to time. But I think this past year, I definitely learned to be a little bit more aggressive, like when it comes to going for par 5 and 2 and hitting like the riskier shot. But I think that's just part of growing as a golfer, is having that shift in mindset, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have some tendencies recently to just start going for taking the riskier shot. Yeah.
That's, I think that's pretty typical for most players. I think, you know, you start one way or the other, and then obviously as you gain more experience, you learn what works best for you. Some players, you know, they just, it's full throttle all the way, doesn't matter. They're going to do it, you know, go for every pin. They're going to do what have you. And then there's others that play a little bit more conservatively, and maybe if the opportunity presents itself, they're going to go for it, but they tend to be more relaxed about it and not as aggressive. And then, like I said, some do kind of a mixture of both. It just depends. And I think you find and you settle into your own rhythm as you play more and more competitive golf, what works best for you. So that's a great answer. Cindy, go ahead.
Yeah. What's the best thing you have found with playing professional golf to this point? What do you think? What do you like the most?
Ooh, I've always loved traveling. Like, that's always been, like, we've always traveled since I was a kid. And golf has taken me to some really cool and unique places, some of that being, like, in the middle of nowhere, and others, like, my junior year of college, like, I got to play in the British Am, so I got to go to, like, Northern Ireland and play. I would say, like, my favorite, like, the best part is getting to see just part of the country you wouldn't typically see, and, like, getting to play the golf, like, in a bunch of states you wouldn't typically go to if you didn't play golf and if you were working a normal, like, 9-to-5 job. Like, we get to spend 4 weeks out in the West Coast where we go to California, we're playing in Utah, and we play 2 weeks in Arizona, and I think, like, I've never been to any of those golf courses, and I think it'll be a really cool experience getting to go there, especially with, like, a friend that I like traveling with, and sometimes having my parents out there, and just getting to see and play golf courses all over the country, and hopefully more so all over the world one day. And that, I think that applies to both golf, like, on tour, like, on the Epson Tour, and also just for fun. Like, my dad and I, like, in our travels, like, as a family, have gotten to also play some really cool golf courses. So I think golf can just take you such awesome places.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Ted?
So as you get ready to begin your season officially, what are the goals that you set for yourself this year?
So this is obviously my first full year on Epson, and in order to, like, my main goal is to finish the Epson season, like, on the money list, 75. If you are top 125, you're exempt through stage one, and not having to go back to stage one is probably the most important part of, like, the whole Q school thing, because getting out of stage one, it's so important. It can be really stressful when you go back there, and I've been 3 times, and I think I'm at a point in my game now where I don't need to go back. And so if I have the season I know I can have and play the way, like, I know I can play, that shouldn't be an issue. But I do know that, like, this is my first full year, and it might take some adapting, but I've been playing golf, like, my whole life up to this point, and I adjust really quickly, so I don't think it will be an issue. Maybe at first, like, settling in just to see, like, how the weeks go by. But I would say top 75 is a great goal. Like, obviously I would love to win, and I have the capabilities of winning, and that would be great. So that's obviously another goal, but sometimes I have to be realistic about where my game is at the moment. Like I said, I think I touched on earlier, I'm coming off an injury. And so I'm curious to see, like, longevity, how that's going to progress out the season. And I think I'll be okay as long as I stick to my gym routine and seeing my physical therapy guys as much as possible, and speaking to them and just laying everything out in front of me the way it should be. Like, I shouldn't have any issues with that. But yeah, I wouldn't say, I don't set a number goal, like a, you know, scoring average has to be this or below. Like, my scoring average was good last year, but I'm also playing a whole new set of golf courses this year against a whole new set of people. So I can't really compare it to last year because it's completely different. But I know that my game is in a better spot. So I think as the season goes on, we're going to kind of tidy up those goals and make them a little bit more specific.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think it's not, you know, because I think one of the pitfalls that a lot of players get into is they set very early on, maybe number one, too many goals or unrealistic goals, you know, thinking, okay, I'm playing really good right now, so I want to make the top 10 or I want to do this or I want to do that. And it may not, it may happen, but it may not. And I think it's less likely at the end of the season that you're going to sort of feel deflated because you set too high of an expectation on yourself and put too much pressure. And then as you transcend through the season and you're not realizing some of those goals or it doesn't look like they're going to be as attainable as you thought at the beginning of the season, I think it puts a lot of stress on you and a lot of anxiety throughout the season. So I think it's very smart what you're doing is to kind of ease into it as you go in the season. And then you can always add. You can always say, okay, yeah, I've ticked off this box. You know, I'm going to, you know, be a little bit more competitive and see if I can get to this next level or what have you, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I think that way, then you feel more confident as you go along. So I think it's very smart on your part to do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, last year, like when I played a full season on the Women's All Pro Tour, like I said before, like the first year I played, I didn't make a cut. So my goal was make at least 50% of the cuts. And I had well exceeded that goal. I think I only missed two. Because making cuts is such an important part of golf, because if you're making cuts, you're making money, you're on the money list, like your ranking will go up. I think I have a similar mindset to that. Like 50% of cuts on Epson would be great. It'll put you on the money list. But if I, you know, if I go out the first 3 weeks and I'm playing unbelievable golf, like, I can adjust those goals easily. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's always easy to work your way up instead of putting all that pressure on you and having to step back. I think it makes it a little bit easier mentally, especially when you're out there playing, being like, it's a long season. You have a lot of golf to play. Like, let's work up to it.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I think that's very smart and very wise on your part to take that approach. Well, Lizzie, we want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. We've got to let you go, but you got lots to do. You're getting ready for your first Epson event this season. And I know you've got to rest up and prepare and do all those wonderful things. So good luck this season, and thank you for joining us this morning on the Women's Ball Golf. I hope you'll come back and join us.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was really nice meeting both of you. I enjoyed this.
Hopefully
I don't sound too tired and groggy coming off my flight.
Fine.
No,
have
you
a great week.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. That was Lizzie Wynn. Competing now on the Epson Tour this season. Her first season last year was her rookie season on the Epson. And as she mentioned, only played a couple events. So we're going to take a real, real quick break. And then, Cindy, you and I are going to come back, and we're going to talk about six great reasons that all women should learn to play this great game. We'll be right back.
The following ad is sponsored by Golf Tips Magazine.
Are you tired of being short off the tee? And what about those three putts? Forget about it. It's time you got serious about your game. Golf Tips, the most in-depth magazine in the industry. For over 30 years, Golf Tips has delivered expert content such as the latest golf instruction from America's top pros, simple-to-follow practice and game improvement drills, fitness and mental game tips, equipment, training aids, accessory and apparel reviews, golf destinations and travel tips for every budget, and so much more. Don't miss a single issue. Go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Women of Golf Show with hosts Cindy Miller and Ted Odorico. That would be me. And we just spoke with a great guest, the first Epson Tour player of the season, Lizzie Wynn, as she gets ready for the season. We're excited for her and hope that she does well this year. Now we're going to have a discussion, Cindy, and I got to give credit where credit is due. I did not come up with this particular. I was actually doing a little investigating on something, and I happened to come across this. And I don't know if you're familiar with this young lady or not, but her name is Heidi Mitchell. She's an LPGA Class A professional and obviously has her own golf academy and so forth. And she put together the discussion on one of her posts And I saw it, and I thought this would be a great topic for her, for us to pick up on. So I'm going to give her credit for this discussion, Heidi Mitchell, LPGA professional, and her contact information is HeidiMitchellGolf.com is her website. So if you want to check her out after the show, you can certainly do that. I believe in giving credit where credit is due. So, Cindy, these are six reasons that she actually put together. And the first one is she identifies as golf teaches life lessons. First off, agree, disagree, and what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. For sure. Without a doubt. Don't you?
I agree. What would be, do you think, a life lesson that you've taken away from this game? What would be one for you?
Well, one that Lizzie just talked about would be patience.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not one that Cindy wants to talk about, but yeah, the funny thing is that it teaches you typically what you don't want to hear, right?
Yeah.
The one that you need to learn the most, it usually stares you right in the face. Yeah. So, and again, it's like the ball sits there looking at you saying, try to hit me, you idiot. And then you try to kill the ball. And then what you do is realize the ball can't move till you swing the club. And then you have to learn how to swing the club. So, yeah, it's total torture. But, yeah, many life lessons. But patience would be the biggest one for me. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. And just on a side note, if the ball laughs at you after you hit a bad shot, it's time to give up the game. You're going crazy. So you got to make sure that if you're hitting that, right? Am I not right? If you start hallucinating. I would say for me, I think what golf has done for me is it's taught me to manage myself better, you know, because if you think about it, when you're out in the golf course, you have to manage yourself. You have to adapt to whatever circumstances you might be faced with. You have to learn to adapt sometimes on the fly, but you have to manage yourself. And for me, that's what one of the things. I agree with you. Patience is definitely one. But I think managing yourself more efficiently throughout life, because if you can manage yourself on the golf course, and that doesn't mean that you're going to win everything or you're going to hit every shot just perfect, but if you can control what you're doing out in the golf course and manage yourself in such a way that you feel confident, you feel empowered, if you will, you're going to do that. That's going to spill over into your everyday life as well. It helps do that. And also there's a parallel between life and golf in that respect. I mean, if you manage yourself in the boardroom, let's say, or in a meeting as an executive, then more often than not, if you take that same strategy out in the golf course, again, that doesn't mean you're going to hit everything perfect, but you're going to be likely to be more successful if you manage yourself correctly. So I would say that would be one for me. So definitely golf does teach you some life lessons. There's, I mean, millions of them that you can be taught, and for everybody it's different. But those are just a couple, I think, that are certainly well worth getting involved in the game for. For women, too, number two, there are, believe it or not, and this is something obviously more for our younger women out there, more scholarships are now available for women golfers and that are actually being used than that are being used. So for those young ladies who maybe have some athleticism, maybe you've played a little bit golf, you need to really investigate this, because there are some great scholarship opportunities if you want to go to college and you want to obviously have the ability to get scholarships. Golf, it might be the way for you. What do you think about that, Cindy? Because I know that you played at the University of Miami was where you went, and I don't know all the circumstances, but you went there. Is that not a great opportunity for young women today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you know, it doesn't mean, oh, if I play golf, I get a scholarship. You're going to have to work for it.
Sure.
But yes, there's many scholarships available for D1 and D2. D3, you don't get scholarships for golf, but you get academic scholarships. And needless to say, you learn an awful lot of life lessons, and you get to play on a golf team, and you get to put that on your resume, and it does more than just, you know, oh, I get to go to college and get some money to go to college. There's a lot of different other you know, things that you get by being on a golf team. But yes, there's lots of scholarships available if you play golf
and
you get golf in college.
Yeah, so it's you know, something that both the student and obviously their parents need to thoroughly investigate. You know, a lot of people, especially if they're not really well entrenched in golf, you know, growing up, but maybe have an interest to it now, it's something to certainly to explore. So you definitely want to talk, you know, reach out about that. And I know that the LPGA has talked about this and probably has resources in their repertoire to maybe even point some people in the right direction. So definitely want to reach out whenever possible to investigate it, because I think it's worthwhile. Next one is, golf is a good workout for both the mind and the body. Your thoughts?
For sure. I mean, you've got to think while you're out there. You've got to focus. You've got to plan shots. You've got to be aware, you know, how far do you hit the ball? Well, then you have to be able to swing the club. You know, I had a student yesterday that said, I need to know which club to hit where. I said, well, we have to learn how to swing more consistently so that we can be aware of how far each club goes. And if you're not aware, you know, what the clubs are for, then, you know, let's just take your 9-iron and get consistent with a setup and a swing and watch how far the ball goes. And then let's skip to the 7. You know, let's do odds or evens, the 5, 7, 9-iron or 6-iron, 8-iron pitching wedge, and just see how far the ball goes. Maybe write it down. And then when you go out to play, you got to be aware of where the yardage markers are. If there's a 100-yard marker or a 150-yard marker, I don't think people are aware how much thinking there is involved in playing. And our last boot camp, we had some younger students for the, and a couple of the girls had, three of them had never played 18 holes. And
wow.
Their dads were there, and they were like, oh, you know, I said, well, bring your wedge and your putter. And they looked at me like, what? And they said, well, when we're going up to the green, you got to bring your wedge and your putter. Like, why are we doing that? And so there's so many things that you have to think about, but if you don't play golf, you don't know that. And part of it, I said to Alan, we run the Under Armour Junior League. So this is to the parents who think their kid's going to just play golf and get a scholarship. That's not the way it works. So you need to know that you're going to invest money in golf lessons. And if they're in, you know, let's say they're in eighth grade, well, they're going to be in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. So that's 5 years of golf lessons. Probably going to spend $500 to $1,000 a year in lessons. So let's say that's $5,000 in golf lessons. And if they practice, you're going to spend another, say $2,500 in practice on the side, so that let's say you spend $10,000 learning how to play. Well, if they get a full ride, that's $100,000. So was it worth $10,000 investment to get $100,000 in free college? Yes. But just know that there is going to be an investment in time and money, and the fact that they have to learn, you know, where do I tee off? How do I walk? What club should I use? All these other things. You don't play golf, they will never know that. And someone has to teach them. And I said to Helen, you forget how many things there is to learn. So mind and body, yes, you have to swing the club. You have to learn, you know, there's a lot of thinking.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of things that go into, as you pointed out, into becoming a better golfer. And even if you, as Lizzie pointed out with some of her, team players that didn't go on to play professionally, still having that knowledge and that experience can serve them well in other areas. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, doing a mind and body workout, if you will, I mean, obviously you want to keep yourself in good physical shape. There's that part of it as well. And I don't mean you have to, go crazy in the gym, but you certainly need to. I mean, because, you know, if you're walking a golf course on average, assuming that you're hitting some relatively decent shots, that equates to roughly 5 miles in 18 holes that you're walking. It might be more if you're finding yourself going, you know, back and forth and whatnot, but, you know, you're looking at pretty close to 5 miles worth of walking. And, you know, if you're somebody that's out of shape and not really taking care of yourself, and again, you don't have to be in tip-top shape, but you do, it is going to give your body a workout. And then mentally as well, as you pointed out, you know, you have to know certain things. And the only way you can do that is to work with somebody who's qualified in teaching that aspect of the game, so that when you get out, in other words, they're preparing you, just like we talked about in the life lessons part of it, is, you know, it's preparatory. It's preparation for getting out on the golf course. So if you're working with somebody, a professional who's qualified and certified, then, you know, they're going to help guide you in the right way. Now, you still have to put in the work, but they're going to guide you the right way and help you prepare for that. So that's something that you have to keep in mind. And, you know, as I said, those scholarships can be available for those that are really interested, but it's not just something that's going to come easily. Golf is social. This is something, I mean, for anybody really, but women particularly, I think it's been proven time and time again, are very social beings. They like, you know, Lizzie talked about that as well. You know, she likes the camaraderie of another friend who plays on the tour, that they can travel and that. And, you know, we recently had guests on who talked about the National Golf Foundation came out with their 2023 stats that there were approximately 800,000 new women golfers to the game last year. That's a big number, and a great opportunity not just to play with other women out there, but also great social opportunities, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, LPGA amateurs last week, right?
Yep.
1,600 members.
Exactly. Yeah,
16,000.
16,000 members of the LPGA amateur. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
somebody to play with forever, right?
Right. Well, and think about this from your perspective. I mean, because this is a women's show, so I want it to be really relevant for women listening to the program. You know, think of your own self. I mean, you've played on tour. You're part of a great organization, the LPGA organization. Think of how many people that you have met and become friends with. And obviously, I'm not saying you socialize every day, but you have a social aspect to those friendships since you've taken up this game. I mean, think of all the connections. You know, you go to the PGA show as I do. Think of all the, you know, players and other teacher professionals and just other people affiliated golf that you know personally that you socialize with on some level, right? I mean, it's endless.
Oh, yeah. It is. It truly is. Absolutely.
And even, you know, it's something, I mean, I'm sure that there's some of them, and we've had a few on the show that I know you've mentioned over the years that you've known for years and years and years, and you're still friends to this day. You still communicate. You still, you know, see each other at different events or different functions throughout the LPGA holds. So, you know, those are lifelong friendships. So golf is definitely a very social sport or game. So it's definitely another reason I think a lot of women should learn to play this game if they enjoy social interaction with other women. And men too, but I mean, other women particularly, there are so many opportunities for women nowadays to get out and be competitive, but also just go out and have fun with other women doing something that they can share a common ground with. So get social in golf. I think it's the thing to do. The other point I was going to make about, as I alluded to a moment ago, is, and this is the next one, is golf can help with your career and obviously networking. This is another reason why, you know, especially women who are in business of some sort, don't necessarily have to own your own business, but maybe you're an executive or you're in a company that allows an opportunity for you to really network with your community. Golf is a great way to do it. Maybe you could touch on a few points there.
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, I've had numerous law firms and accounting firms and banks do events. Just this year alone, probably 6 different events just to get together to teach both men and women how to play golf and use the game for as a business tool, as a networking tool, to raise money for charitable events, just to be able to play in corporate fundraisers. It's just amazing. People need to know how to play golf. And it's the only way you can spend. Everybody's so busy now, and
yep.
People are working home. They don't really want to spend time, but they will make time to go spend on a golf course because then they don't have to be in
yep.
the office or working. And it's
yep.
the only time you're going to have to get to know somebody. And it's a great way to find out if somebody's honest, if they follow rules,
yep.
if they, you know, it's a lot of different ways to find out about if you want to do business with someone is spend 4 hours with them on
yep.
a golf course.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, being somebody who's also taught corporate, golf over the years, that's one of the number one things I always have talked about is, you know, this really opens up a door, not only for opportunities, but also helps you to realize that, hey, do I really want to do business with that individual if this is how they handle themselves on the golf course? Because it goes back to these life lessons. How you're handling yourself on the golf course is indicative of how you handle yourself in your everyday life. So if you're a cheater or if you're somebody who has, you know, a volatile temperament on the golf course, that says a lot. And, so it opens so many opportunities and gives you a better insight to the folks that, you know, you may be dealing with. And it's a great way for women to network. It's a great way for them to do. And here's one thing I want to add. You know, we always talk about, you know, we've said over the years how it would be great for women to go and watch an LPGA event. I'd like to take it a step further. They have so many great volunteers. If you've never been to an event before, find one that's in your area. Yeah, it's great to go and watch, but it's even better to go and volunteer and try to get yourself in the volunteering pool because you get to be more interactive and more involved at what's going on, and you still get the opportunity to see the players and see, you know, some of the action in that. So I would say, Cindy, that I think that would be a great way for somebody that's not really been involved in this game. That would be a good foot in the door, if you will, to kind of see what goes on at an LPGA event. What do you think?
You know, it would be. It would be. But if they don't have time, you know, again, it may take time and they ask you to sign up for the whole week. And if they don't have time
sure.
just to go watch, definitely.
Yes.
And if you're going to go watch, I would go watch during a practice round.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go watch on the weekend. I would watch during a practice round because you're going to get more out of it then.
Oh, for sure. And you can see a lot more too. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly because you're in the heat of the event. I mean, especially if you're following some of the top players, I mean, it's, you know, several, you know, people deep and it's not always easy. So you have to, there's a method to watching an event even on a busy day. But I agree going during a practice round or what have you. And I always like to, I always used to love going to, when I'd go to an event to watch, is even go out by the range early in the morning and watch some of the players as they prepare to hit the course and just watch how they warm up. I mean, you can pick up a lot of tips. Yeah, you know, sometimes there's just, you know, they're chatting with their fellow professionals and they're not really doing a lot, but it's a great way to see how they warm up and prepare to go out on the golf course. You'll notice that they're not working on swing mechanics or they're not working on things. They're just there warming up and getting their game ready to take out in the course. So definitely you want to be involved in that way. And the last one, of course, we've talked over the last couple of shows. We've had some guests on who have talked about golf fashion. Well, golf has a fashion all its own. And Cindy, I know you're, I would say, an aficionado of golf fashion. You enjoy the many clothing and opportunities that there is and the different products that are available through some of the many suppliers. So talk about that for a moment, if you don't mind.
Retail therapy is one of my favorite things.
Right.
So, you know what? Golf fashion is an industry all on its own. So And you have to have golf clothes, and looking good is really important. So going to the PGA merchandise show is one of my favorite things to do, and to see all the new clothing lines that are available. And we have a lot of the manufacturers on the show with us, which we've had, you know, just a couple weeks. Swing Control we had, and we had Local Sports, and we have to have Canona on. So I'm going to have Tammy and Diane come on. But there's so many different brands that you need to invest for your body type, your age. I hate to say that, but that's true, because some people like really short skirts. Some people like longer skirts, depending on how old you are and maybe your size and cellulite. but it's true. And then how tight you want your clothing. And it's just, it's fun to go shopping. And once you know what fits you, you don't have to go into the store. You can buy it online. So it's important.
And also, let me just add too, with, you know, from the fashion, as you mentioned, we've had Swing Control and Lola Sports and others over the years on the show talking about their lines. What's really unique about, especially for the women's market right now, which, you know, again, I'm not going to throw all women in the shopaholic basket, but I know that they do enjoy fashion. What's really unique about golf fashion right now is, I would say, the majority of it is not being made solely to wear on the golf course. It's very flexible, not just in the fabrics that are being made, but also in the diversity of where you can use it. So, for instance, you know, a lot of the manufacturers, Swing Control being one, Lola another one, that we've talked about, their lines are being made not only to wear on the golf course, but to wear in other social events, to wear to work, and it doesn't look like you're, you know, on the golf course. So it's very flexible in what you can do with it, and very interchangeable in other aspects. So if you're thinking, well, yeah, okay, I can go and do that, but this is something I can wear only when I golf. No, you're wrong. They've created and moved their product lines in such a way that women can now have a lot of diversity with that clothing, so it's not just limited to wearing the golf course. And that's something I think that is really important, particularly for women, because they are very savvy shoppers, and they don't want to be put in a box, if you will, saying, okay, I've got to buy this for this, I've got to buy that for that. They want diversity in what they're wearing and flexibility. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you can go from the golf course to the office.
Yep. And or some other social function. I mean, you know, outside of the golf course, if you've got a, you know, a get together, a dinner, what have you, sometimes you can just throw a jacket over top, and next thing you know, you've got a great outfit, or you can, you know, wear something else, a quick, you know, change without having to change your whole wardrobe. Just some accessories as well sometimes can splash it up enough that now you can wear it out if you've got a dinner with your partner or something like that. So it's very versatile, and there's just there's so much of it out there. We're going to have more of these professionals who work in the fashion industry who are, again, even though they're working in golf clothing, if you will, they're offering a lot of diversity. So we're going to have some more of that on here, and we may even work it out. We'll have a few specials on the show as well for people that are interested, maybe give some discounts or some giveaways and things like that. We're working on a few of those things behind the scenes. But so life lessons, scholarship opportunities, a good workout for body and mind, definitely a social aspect to the game. You want to boost increase your career and network opportunities, it's there. And obviously, if you want to look your best, there's some great golf fashion. So those are the six great reasons that really all women should learn to play this game. And you don't have to be a master at it. You probably never will be. Even the best of the best will tell you you'll never master this game, but it's a lot of fun learning. Certainly has its challenges, as Cindy and I can both attest to, but it's definitely a game for life, and you will love it. And it's something, too, that you can pass down generationally and you can be involved with. You've got grandkids that maybe you want to introduce to the game as well. There's opportunities to do that. So there's no excuse. Doesn't matter your playing abilities. You can always reach out to some great professionals in the LPGA and PGA, become a better player to whatever level you want to get to, But there's no excuse for you not to get out there and enjoy this great game. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. What do you think?
Absolutely. Great job.
All right. Thank you, Heidi Mitchell, again, for putting together some great points. And, again, you can reach out to her at HeidiMitchellGolf.com is her contact information. Six great reasons why all women should learn to play this great game, golf. Again, a special thanks to Lizzie Wynn. Good luck this year on the Epson Tour. And we look forward to having some of the winners come on and join us this season on the Women of Golf. On behalf of Cindy Miller, I'm Ted Odorico. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Women of Golf this morning. And we will see you next week right here on the Women of Golf Show. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening to this week's Women of Golf Show. Ted and Cindy wish to thank this week's special guests. Remember to join them every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the iGolf Sports Network. Or on any of these social media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course Spotify. To get updates on the show, you can follow the Women of Golf Facebook page at www.facebook.com/womenofgolf. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.